Hey, blessed being in the assembly, people of God. This is a wonderful place to be. We thank the Lord for each and every one and appreciate being able to be in the camp one more time. The Lord has surely been good to us to bring us again. The rich testimonies, and my heart is full. This isn't the first time, but it's like this all the time. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. We desire an interest in your prayers as we look in the Word of God this morning. A thought that the Lord has brought to my heart. It's been just kind of mellowing there. And I trust it'll be a blessing to us. I feel like this is the time for this Word. In Genesis chapter 40, we'll read a few verses. You pray that the Lord will inspire us and help us. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. Verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. While in ward, they dreamed. The butler dreamed and the baker, chief of the bakers, dreamed. Verse 9, the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler." Amen. Verse 13. 3 days determined. 14th verse. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." What a pitiful cry. We have a picture here. And I pray the Lord will make it vivid and an impression indelible on our hearts and minds. Here is a man stating his case. "I want you to think on me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." There are some circumstances that we can find ourselves involved in. And in these circumstances, any little hope of bettering our case, we would surely want someone to remember us. This is Joseph's situation. "I've done nothing that I should be put into the dungeon." Well, if we understand that the baker and the butler, they displeased their Lord and they were in prison for that, and Joseph ministered to them and gave interpretation of their dreams and treated them very kindly and had a simple request. Well, it didn't go so well with the baker. But on down in the 23rd verse, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." I want us to think a little bit this morning on something that's really been coming to my mind and heart more and more. The human weakness of forgetting. We forget a lot of things. I've often wondered why in the real battles and trials and tests that we can't think of the real victories and successes. How the Lord has been good to us. There's something about us that maybe not everyone, but generally we're prone to forget. Sure. Joseph was in the dungeon. He's in trouble. The butler had been there a while. He knew the condition. Now he was restored, just like the interpretation of the dream. He was back serving. And things are going well, and he was living the manner of life that he was used to living. Everything just right. He forgot Joseph, who's still down in the dungeon. May God help us. I want to get to something this morning by the help of the Lord. I want to get to the thought. And I want us to think in terms of not forgetting God. When things go well, when we're in a manner of living and carrying out our daily affairs and there's no pains to think of, and everything seems to be just right, there is a tendency to forget, to be as careful and prayerful and reminded of the great God that keeps us going every day. Now there's something here that's so very basic, it's simple, and we can overlook it. Yet to overlook it is so costly. Forgetting God. Sometimes it's something as simple as forgetting to have that morning watch with the Lord. I just forgot it. I know the value of it. It's been a blessing to me through the years, but I forgot it. And every time we forget, it costs us something. It's a cost. May the Lord help us. Let's turn to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. We'll read a little bit, starting at verse 4. Lord help us. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." I thought about this verse. Can this really be legislated? Listen, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." I thought about that and I spent time looking at that. Well, there are some things to be considered for a statement like this to be made. There had to be something to provoke us to love the Lord. To be told to love God has to have within it the understanding that He is one worthy of our love. You should love one that's worthy of your love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He's worthy of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, the thought comes to our mind. When did He ever do anything to win my love? What has He ever done to win my love? Well, we need to do a little searching. I believe in the 5th chapter of Romans, we'll find a thought here. God has us in His mind and on His heart. Let's read a little. In the 6th verse of the 5th chapter, "For
or when we were yet without strength. This is a condition. I want us to think about Joseph a little bit to get this picture. He's in a situation that's beyond him. Circumstances have willed it so, and he's in prison without a cause, and there's some thoughts here that really will touch your heart if you allow them. He's been sold out in this condition. Helpless. Could we say he was without strength in this matter? Here I am. Don't forget me now. Think kindly on me. That's a plea. Remember me. I can't help myself. I'm in here and, oh, there's a spiral of circumstances and events that have caused me to be this way. Please remember me. Think on me kindly. I'm down here in the dungeon. Man's condition is a lot like this. Oh, I'm not making any excuses today, because I believe there's folks that are doing things that they know are not pleasing unto God, and they've been checked by the Lord and they're aware of that. But above and before all of that, what brought all this into reality? What caused it all to be this way? What's caused man to take the bend in the course that he takes? Oh, there's some forces and powers working against you and I today that sell us out and get us in conditions and circumstances. And oh, we need somebody to think kindly on us. We need someone to pity our condition. God help us. We just don't have any strength to be able to do much better sometimes. Lord help us. For when we were yet without strength. Thank God that the Lord was looking down on the condition. He can't help himself. He's in the dungeon. And the harder he tries, the more he gets in the mud, the brother said, in the clay. Sometimes you get a little hope and a little glint, but then it all is smashed and back down again, crawling in the mud. Thank God. There was one that was up above the situation high enough to see it for what it was and what it is. Thank the Lord. He saw it for what it was and saw the struggles and the heartaches and the hardships and all those kinds of things that stack up and reveal the life of man. In due time, thank the Lord, Christ died for the ungodly. Something was done here. Oh, mercy! Something is being done. There's some kindness being shown. There's some tenderness here. There's a desire here. There's a real compassion here. In due time, the Lord took the matter to case. And then His Son died for us. Oh, listen, you get a bunch of folks grumbling and complaining down in prison, grumbling about their lot and how rough it is. You can hardly appreciate somebody way out on a hill somewhere with a crown of thorns on his head being nailed to some trees and get any meaning of what that is for me. Oh, it's hard to kind of get a picture of what could all of this mean for me, and I'm in this dungeon. The inspired writer says, in due time, Christ died. This is precious to me. For the ungodly. Let me call the ungodly the prisoners. Christ died for the prisoners. Christ died for all that were down in the dungeons of despair and down in the conditions and places that you're just helpless to do any better, though you want to do better and though you'd like to do better, but you just don't have the strength. Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, thank the Lord. You know, sometimes folks have been in condition so long till just a little glimmer of light is more than they can take. Been down in the dark places so long that just a little hope, a little light, it's unbelievable. Hard to take. This is for me. Christ died for me. Oh, I want it to settle on your heart today that He died for you. Praise the Lord. The ungodly died for me. Amen. For scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we get the picture now. We get a picture now. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? Oh, it begins to make a little more sense now. Why there would be a command like this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He died for you. Oh, He's made the first move. You know, sometimes some folks are. They say, well, I'd kind of do something if it'd be any little indication to give me some encouragement. Here's your encouragement. Christ died for you. He made the first move. What a move. Commended His love toward us. Oh, the love of God, wrapped, if you please, and sent down to mankind by one stretched on the boards, stretched out there, shedding out His life, saying, I love you. I'm concerned about your condition. Praise the Lord. Think kindly on me. You know the Lord showing us a great kindness here? Oh, we hardly have words to describe it. A great kindness. Christ died. Now love Him with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He is worthy. Now, of course, the reading, where we're reading now, is before this time. But all of it just blends together in a way to make the message so clear to you and I. But here there were many things that God did for these people, establishing and clarifying His commitment to them. And so these commands were given to them. You shall love Him. He's made the first move in every endeavor to reach a man. God makes the first move. We need to get a hold of that. You know, there's a natural suspicion that runs in the human family. What do you got up your sleeve, preacher? Preachers take a rap on this. I know you're after something. Well, that's true. But I can assure you it's something good. It's something that you'll never regret. It's something that'll change your whole outlook on life. We do have something up our sleeve if you want to think like that. But it's all in your favor. And it's all of your good. It's going to change your whole outlook. Hey, man. You can be skeptical a little while, but the facts start piling up and then skepticism gives way to sheer love. I love Him. He's demonstrated to me. He's on the level. Every way He deals is just and fair. Oh, I can give my heart without fear. I can give all without hesitation and reservation. I can put my confidence here because Christ has made the first move. It's our time to move now. It's our time. You don't have to go on living in the dungeon any longer. The way is made to get out. Glory to God, you can get out. You pray for us now. Love Him. Love Him. Thou shalt love Him. Let's look over a little bit now in the fifth chapter here of the same Deuteronomy. Verse number 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's a thought, isn't it? We're sold. Sold out. Circumstances above and beyond our ability to do anything about them at all. Born into this world with a heavy sentence hanging over our heads, and in the course of time, taking a course of action that led to one degree of going down to another and another and another until we're just totally steeped in sin and wrong. I'm the Lord that brought you out. I'm the one that brought you out of that. Amen. Glory to God. All those steps down, all that trouble, all that confusion, all that darkness and misery, I'm the one that brought you out. And let's put it another way. I am the one that wants to bring you out. Amen. I can bring you out. Amen. I had some problems once with a little carburetor. And I adjusted on it. Worked on it. Finally, a wise fellow said, why don't you take it to somebody that knows how to fix it? So I decided that was good counsel. And I started looking for somebody that could really fix it. And I read a little card, a little advertisement that said, carburetor troubles? Don't despair. We care. We'd fix it. I said, that's the one I want. When you've got problems and troubles, you need to get them to the place where you can get help. Christ is more than a problem solver. But He can solve problems for you, and He will. To get to your case, to touch your soul, to touch your life, He'll solve your problems to let you know what He can do. I've known it to be that way. Amen. They took care of that carburetor problem. Smooth as glass. You just got to get to the right place. All my struggling and all that I tried to do, I couldn't get it just right. When I got there, there was an air of confidence about that shop. I told him the problems I was having. He said, no problem. Well, that made me feel good. I said, are you sure? He says, no problem. Well, you can take real confidence in something like that. No problem. Yes, but I've been in this condition a long time. You get it to the Lord and He'll say, I know I'll take care of that. I know all about it. Oh, I even know how it's affected you. Christ is more than a problem solver. He wants to take charge of your life and He wants to get right in there and work for you. In return, He wants your undivided love. In return, He wants undivided affection. In return, He wants from you a dedication and a loyalty. That's precious to me, and it makes so much sense to me. That's so reasonable. That's so sensible. Amen. I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. These people were bondmen. They were sold out and they were under a system whereby the life of a slave wasn't worth very much. From some readings that I've looked into, I read where a master could, if he took the whim of it, could just beat a slave to death and nothing would be said about it. Nothing would be heard about it. You had no voice in the matter. You're a bondman, you're a slave. And oh, it doesn't take me long to look out on the misery and suffering of men and women without Christ and see how the bondage of sin, in many instances, literally is beating them to death. Taking life. Taking away the precious things. And so it is with bondage, you see. So it is with bondage. You're sold under it. You're helpless. You're a slave in the thing. Can't get out without some real help in Christ. The dear Lord wants to be the one to deliver us and help us. He is the one. Now, I brought you out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. I'd like to stop here a little bit and bring a thought about other gods. I have a burden on my heart. And the burden that's on my heart here is to look here and not forget God. We live in a time now where there are so many other gods. Other gods. And here's a statement. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This was directed to the people of this day, but it comes on down to you and to me. Thou shalt have no other gods. One of the requirements is no other gods. And I'm going to tell you there are penalties for having other gods. No, the most severe penalty, of course, is when a soul is lost and away from God because of other loves, other affections, other giving of our desires to something other than that, that we could stamp holiness unto God on it. Some of the other troubles that come out of having other gods is that it affects other souls. We cannot communicate to them the clear message that it is God whom we really love. We have too many other loves. Now this is the heart of the message that's upon my mind and in my heart today. Communicating clearly that it is God that I desire and want. That it is God that I'm living for because of the things that we stated before and many others that have piled up. Till it has erased away from me any kind of skepticism to follow God fully. I trust Him. I believe Him. All the elements of doubt and skepticism as to whether I can follow God in this course or that course, they'll be swept away as we allow Him to be God in our lives. We'll trust Him here and we'll trust Him on and on and on until the final triumph. Praise the Lord. He's gained that. He's won that from me. Oh, we love Him because He first loved God. Amen. Amen. He didn't forget us. Praise the Lord. Oh, this means something to me. He didn't forget us. Thou shalt have no other God. No other gods before me. And thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. This is what I'm getting at now. When we forget God, it's the generations after us that suffer. When we fail to have a clear line in our lives that relates every action and every thought and every deed to the love that we have for our great God, the generations that follow us smart in those places. They hurt. They pain. They have not seen that love for the one true God that He has commanded. I like to think at this stage that He's won. He's won it. He's won my love. Oh, I'm beyond the stage of being convinced that He's the one to love. I'm satisfied there. I'm beyond, and I trust that you and I today are beyond the place where we need to be convinced that we ought to love Him, but we're at a point where we just want to know better how to and how to express it and manifest it. Amen. But I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. You know, I'm believing here that the Lord is calling this divided affection iniquity. Do you know I'm accepting that if our affections become divided and affected in any way to where something can get an equal place or a near place of value to that which God alone should have, it is an iniquitous practice? What's the penalty? I'll visit it upon the third and fourth generations. I'll visit it. Is it possible that we could be looking at a generation of children that are basically troubled and out of control and hard to handle and difficult to manage and hard to show a loyalty and a real affection because somewhere down the line there was a leak or a break in our affections unto God? Is it possible? I want to say something. I want prayer. I'm laboring to gain my family, my children for God. It is an awesome responsibility. The forces and the pressures and the powers, and those things that are pressing hard to detract and draw them away, never let up. Never let up. That's just how it is for me. And I'm finding myself praying and questioning, Lord, did I miss here? Did I not catch this soon enough? Oh, how do I respond to this? These words come to me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. If you get me in the picture, I'll work for you in the behalf of your children. Oh, I'm more convinced as I consider this subject that there have been breaks and leaks and leakages that have caused some trouble in the generations that are behind us. I want you to be encouraged, though. He's still the same God that's high enough over all of it. Praise God, He's got a vantage point over all of it. And if we'll look to Him and lean on Him and return wholehearted to Him, He'll bring it in line again. Oh, glory to God. I believe that. He's got a good position and He can see everything all at once. He's just looking for those that'll turn back with their whole heart. Amen. It says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." That's encouraging. Oh, this blesses my soul. I thought about the Hebrew children and the image that was made, and they were told to bow down. But there had been some diligence, there had been some keeping of the love of God. And they had some things fixed in their heart. They would not bow down. And I believe this is the bedrock of their stand. Thou shalt have no other gods. We cannot bow down. Oh, may the Lord help us that our love and devotion be such to God that anything coming on the scene, presenting itself as God or to take a place as God, that we'll be so clear to say, we will not bow down. We won't worship that. We won't yield to that. Praise the Lord. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Oh, praise the Lord. This blesses my soul. Showing mercy. Oh, listen, I'm thinking about these bondmen under bondage. Thinking about a life of sin. A life outside of the mercy and goodness of God. A life today that is full of darkness and despair. No hope. Joseph's situation was one at times the Lord stayed with him and was good to him. But there were times, no doubt, that he felt utterly hopeless, dejected, lost. No one's thinking of me. No doubt there were times like that. And I can parallel those same thoughts to souls that are in trouble today. Souls that are in the dark places of sin and have not learned the love and mercy of God. Oh, nobody cares for me. Nobody's thinking about me. But I assure you, not only is the great God concerned about you, He has a host in the earth that are concerned about you today. Praise the Lord. And who offer prayers and petitions unto God that you might be brought in and drawn in. Many times not even knowing your name or your circumstance. Oh, I want us to get a hold of this mercy and goodness of God. Why we should love Him. God is working in our behalf. The testimonies this morning just blessed my soul to see how God is yet working, proving His love, showing His sincerity. You and I, let's reach out if we in this place today, if we need one that we can put our trust and confidence in, let's reach out and get a hold, praise the Lord, of these precious thoughts as they come our way. What is God's purpose? What is it that He's looking to do here in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John? I want to read a little here. Verse 20. Listen to what he says. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now there's a thought here that the Lord had an interest in the immediate company that followed Him, that He taught, that He discipled and then used. And His concern and desire was through their labors and their efforts as it would go out through the whole earth. I'm concerned about those that will believe through the word that they preach. Oh, He's reaching now, and the sphere is ever broadening, and it would encompass us all if we would turn to Him. God would deliver all that would turn to Him. He'll save all that will turn to Him. Get a hold of that. This is basic. In return, again, in return for this, it's the singleness of our heart and our affection and our desires to Him that He's looking for and desiring. No other gods now. No other loves. No other detractions. Well, Brother Hargrave, I don't understand. What does it mean? I believe it means here that the seat of our desires and affections are to be so fastened and attached to the things of God that we'd only seek those things that can have holiness unto the Lord stamped on them at all times. That calls for a careful life, doesn't it? Oh, but when you love someone, it's not hard, is it? Doing it because you love Him. They that'll believe on me through the words which these will speak, far-reaching. And what a blessed, blessed Savior we have thinks on us just like this. Well, let's read a little further down now in this Deuteronomy 6. And 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, When thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, this is the most challenging scripture to me. I want you to keep the thought, because we're really talking about our children and the generations to follow us having a clear and a precise understanding of what God requires of them. This is really what it's about. And in order for them to understand what God is requiring, it has to be clear with you and me. We'll have to live it so clear that it'll be unmistakable. Oh, I'm not talking about a lot of instruction. That's a part of this. It says so here. But more things are caught than taught. We're doing far more teaching by how we live and what we do than what we say. I'm afraid this is one of the errors of our age, is to speak the right thing and go off in another direction. Is to have a knowledge of the right thing and never put it into practice. We need to look at this. Whether we look at it or not, there are those around us that look at it. God help us. What is the answer and the solution? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You love Him with all your heart. Oh, that's going to provoke you to live so before Him. It'll provoke me and it'll provoke others who desire to please God to follow right in that pattern. Keep praying. All right? Listen to this saturation. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, I went to a place one time. Of course, it blessed me initially. Went in a certain room in a home and plastered all over the walls were scriptures. Everywhere I'd look, there'd be a scripture. Had the inscription. I looked on the ceiling. He had some up there. And I said, initially, it blessed me. I'm not opposed to that. That's what you want to do. But I got to thinking about it. Lord, you want it like that in my life. All in me and all over me and in my innermost being. The truth coming forth. Oh, God. They actually had the little frontlets and the straps tied and the little verses on the wrist and across the forehead, and they had to tie to remember to pray and one thing and another, but it was pointing to something far more better than that. When our hearts are so affected by what He's done for us that we just love Him, and it's now in my heart. There's a danger of what a preceding generation understood and had in their heart to become only actions and activities in another generation. What is the cure? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You'll have to love Him. You'll have to know Him. Oh, God help us. Thank the Lord we can't store it up. You'll just have to love Him and know Him. When that generation dies off, the next generation will have to love Him and know Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to pass the love of God on to you, son. You can to a certain extent. But it won't be because you grilled Him in the scriptures and taught Him all the scriptures and kept Him in the camp meetings and weaned His young mind and body. It won't be because of those things. Those things have their place. I am not suggesting that we should do something different than that. But I am suggesting along with that, let's get a clearness in our own lives that cannot be denied. Oh, let's allow them to see something in us where they'll have to say, oh, mother loves the Lord. My father loves the Lord. Now, somebody said, that's all right, Brother Hargrave. That's pretty good. What about when they have questions? We're going to get to that. You know, why do we do this? Daddy, why do the saints do this? What? Why is it we have to? And why can't we? You been there? The Lord's got something to say about it. And our loving the Lord has much to do with the answers and the reasons that we'll give. May the Lord help us. All right, a little more down here. It says some more things here. Moving down. The 10th verse, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities of which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Now watch it here. You ever noticed how the saints are prospering? Sure. Prospering. The Lord's blessings are seen everywhere and in many ways, and I'm not opposed to that. Lord, prosper us some more. But can we stand it, see? Oh, I'm not suggesting that we back up and go backwards into the dark ages. But may the Lord help us to be stirred. When you get these things and eat and be full, 6:30 prayer meeting is hard to make. God help us. Amen. Hard to make it. And I understand in a meeting like this, there are going to be those who extend themselves way out in the night, praying and ministering, that won't be in that 6:30 prayer meeting. But there are those that don't have that kind of excuse. See? There's a connection, folks. I'm full. It's a good meeting. I'm getting to see all the saints. How did we get to this? I wouldn't be surprised. I was talking with a brother once. He says, how do you explain it? Brother comes along and the Lord anoints him. He preaches the word of God just like we've been preaching it. The altars fill up and the work begins to grow and prosper. And everybody looks and says, what a minister. I said, no, go back about 3 or 4 generations. You'll find somebody that prayed. You'll find somebody that walked with God. You'll find somebody who was faithful right down the line, who was faithful to preach to empty pews. All right now. You'll find somebody that was there at the proper hour to unlock the door. This is the result of that. We've entered into another's labors. But so often all we can see is what's right before us, and that is another indication of the time and the age we live in. We're unable to properly evaluate the blessings we have and know where they come from and return praise and thanksgiving to God. Now this is not everybody, but this is a general case. Take it for granted. Somebody born in the heat, and somebody labored, and somebody sweated and shed tears. And all they ever saw was empty pews. Down the road, glory to God. The Lord sends somebody along, and all of a sudden the planting, the harvest. Love the Lord. Be faithful. Love Him. Don't forget. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, or from slavery, or brought you out of sin, or brought you out of darkness, or delivered you, or restored your home, or restored your mind. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shall swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. No other gods. The people that are round about you, you're not to follow the pattern of the people. The child of God is to be a pattern in himself. Pattern of good works unto the Lord. Amen. All right, we'll move down now. The 20th verse. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, see, what mean these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Notice now, the son's asking the father. The Lord commanded you. What they're getting is the ripple of this, see? Because you're in this house, you're coming along. He's actually asking, what does it mean that the Lord has told you? Folks, right here is where we lose many times. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. We were bondmen in Egypt. We were slaves, sold out. We had no freedom. We had no liberty. We were in a hopeless. Our case was one of hopelessness, futility. We were just there at the mercy of cruel taskmasters. We were living a life away from God, going down. The Lord, in His mercy, in His kindness, in His love, thought on us, visited us. He showed mercy. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. What a testimony. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all the household before our eyes. And He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Oh, glory to God. Oh, what a message to give to your son. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. This is our righteousness. Oh, if we do it, we'll be blessed, we'll be preserved, we'll be kept. God has saved me, son, from a miserable life of sin. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. And it's to our benefit now, our whole house, to serve Him and love Him. We were lost and you had no hope. Now the Lord is blessed. You know, it's a blessing when you come from a home where both parents are endeavoring to live for the Lord. Even one parent endeavoring to live for the Lord. Young folks, children, recognize what... Amen. There's a passage over in the book of Joshua. We'll read it. We'll just speak of it to this point. It said, all the days of Joshua, the people served the Lord. And it goes on and says that they continued serving the Lord under the leadership of those elders that overlived Joshua, and all of them that knew what God had done, and all of them that rehearsed and kept it fresh before the people and kept it fervent and warm. And then it goes on and says, a generation came up that didn't know anything about this. They forgot. Every time that there is a forgetting on any level, personally, in our homes and individual families, on a level in the congregation, nationally, how we come to be here and what these grounds mean and all of this, may God help us. We pay a price. You'll have something coming on the ground and you'll wonder, how can this be and it ought not be? Somewhere there's been a leak or a break. Amen. I think some of the things that we try to stop by legislation, God help us, could be dried up instantly with the more fervency out of our individual walk with God. God help us. Let the fear of God come down, the love of the Lord. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. You don't have to worry about trying to put a lot of stops on things. They wouldn't be able to function. God help us. Let's look at one more aspect of what the results of forgetting God. Now, we've dealt with the people of God pretty much, and our children, and our love of the Lord, and I hope we're encouraged to just draw up real close and bless, live so God can let His blessings come down and souls be edified and all that we're looking for and asking Him. But there's an aspect of this to individuals that are not saved. Someone turn to the book of Job, chapter 8. There's folks that have decided and determined, for whatever reasons, maybe looking out on the situation of those that profess to know the Lord, and maybe they decide, if that's what it's all about, I don't want anything to do with it. But I want to warn you and caution you today that you can't make it without God either. God help us. There's some penalties that folks pay that take off on that kind of course. They're going to go on without God, and they'll just not bother themselves about looking into it, because there's, quote unquote, so much confusion in the land. But in God there is no confusion. In Jesus Christ there is no confusion. Confusion is something that people get into when they don't love God and follow Him and dedicate themselves. The result of that is confusion. Half-hearted service will bring confusion. God help us. I'm confused. Do you love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength? Well, yes, I do. Well, you won't be confused long. Just keep loving Him like that, see? He'll bless you and bring you right up and out and establish you right in the midst with the people of God, get you rooted and grounded, and you'll be a saint in light. Amen. I'm still confused. Well, who are you listening to, God or the people? God help us. Let's listen to the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy might, all thy strength. Folks, let's listen to the Lord. Now, don't get confused here and think I'll not have to listen to my pastor anymore. The Lord uses him. But I want us to understand where our affection should be. I came to the meeting, Lord, I want to hear your word. And oh, I'm just stretching everything I have to hear the word. I know there's others like that too. Lord, I want to hear your word. There's so many things I need and want from you and want to be blessed. I feel the love of God here. I feel that. But I believe there can be an increase. I believe we can take a good look and draw closer. Now, we got a thought out of one of the meetings. Let's close the ranks. Let's draw close to God. Let's bury Him on these precious truths. Let them live out through our lives. Oh, I'm going to tell you, this is the very best protection and defense you can have, is loving the Lord with all your heart. Poet said, has a mortal yet been found who trusted Him in vain? Search the whole broad space of earth around and search it once again. You won't be let down loving and trusting God. You have that scripture now? It's Job, what I call it. 8 and 11.
Can the rush grow up without mire?
Now listen. You're going to make it without God? You're going to go on and establish your life without the Lord? Here's an example, an illustration. Speaking of certain growing, can it grow up without the earth or the mire that it grows in? Well, that comes from God. Read.
Can a plant grow without water?
Don't make it without God? Where does the water come from? It's God's. Read.
While it is yet in His greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other
herb. Oh, we're not going to make it without the Lord. We need Him so much. In every way. Read on.
So are all the paths of all that forget God.
Cut down while they're yet green. Those that forget God. When it seems that they would prosper and things are going to go so well. Cut down. Why? Because they forgot God. Because they started out without God. Oh, what a tragedy and what a serious and severe mistake. A misjudgment that is very, very costly. We need the Lord. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Read on.
And the hypocrite's hope shall perish.
Oh, there's no hope for the hypocrite.
Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web.
That's not very much, is it? Trust, a spider's web. Can you imagine trusting in that? So easily, so fragile, so easily broken. Read on.
He shall lean upon his house. It shall not stand. He shall hold fast, but it shall not endure.
I hope that we will consider that there must be a clearness in our own hearts and lives as pertains to our love and devotion to God. Something that is beyond our testimony and our speakings. A way of living. A way of praising and magnifying Him till it has the kind of effect that brings God in on the matter, and it goes right down to your sons and your sons' sons, right on down the line. Oh, I need prayer. I want prayer, and I do see these things. I want you to pray for me and trust the Word of God has stimulated and challenged us to draw closer and live for Him. Amen.